Well, good morning, and thank you for coming to hear this talk. Special thanks to the people who attended the seminar yesterday and are also attending our sitting this morning. Also, happy Father's Day to all the dads in attendance. During this talk, please feel free to adjust your posture, but work to keep your back straight. I want to use this talk to investigate what I consider some important Zen questions. Namely, why do we meditate? What prevents us from meditating? And how does meditation help save the many sentient beings? To try to answer these questions, let us look at one of the great Zen koans from the Mumon Kwan. The Mumon Kwan is a collection of koans, or Dharma exchanges, that happened in the past, usually between a Zen student and a Zen teacher. Even though these stories happened many years ago, usually in ancient China, they hold much richness and allow us to see that ancient Zen students were not that different than modern day students. The koan I want to look at is from case 19 in the Mumon Kwan. Ordinary mind is the way. This story is about Chao Cho, or Joshu in Japanese, who later would become one of the greatest Zen masters of all time. In this story, Chao Cho is fairly young and is having an intimate meeting with his teacher, Nanshuan, Nansen in Japanese. The koan is as follows. Chao Cho earnestly asked Nanshuan, "What is the way?" Nanshuan answered, "The ordinary mind is the way." Chao Cho asked, "Should I direct myself toward it or not?" Nanshuan said, "If you try to turn toward it, you go against it." Chao Cho asked, "If I do not turn toward it, how can I know that it is the way?" Nanshuan answered, "The way does not belong to knowing or not knowing. Knowing is delusion, not knowing is blankness. When you have reached the true way, beyond all doubt, you'll find that it is vast and boundless as outer space. How can there be knowing or not knowing in the way?" At these words, Chao Cho was enlightened. Chao Cho, like us, wants to understand the way, or this thing called enlightenment, or the meaning of life. People come to Zen and practice meditation with the goal to become enlightened. They want to be free from suffering and find meaning to life. Nanshuan says, "Ordinary mind is the way." As a brief history, Chao Cho was born in 778 AD in northern China. We don't know much about his childhood, but some sources indicate that as a child he loved solitude. Like many of us, he found a certain peace in being quiet. Maybe like us, he enjoyed long walks in a forest or simply sitting quietly contemplating life. He also, again, like some of us, supposedly knew very little about Buddhism before joining a monastery. This encounter with his teacher occurred a few years after he joined the monastery and began practicing Zen. Chao Cho is at the point where he is asking, "What is this life about? And why do I bother meditating? I don't get it." Notice Chao Cho is speaking from his heart. He has a deep-seated, earnest desire to know the truth. This isn't a casual, "Hey, what's up?" Sometimes we meditate because something inside us is restless. A questioning spiritual desire for something. Something maybe you can't single out, but something that says there is more to life than fame or fortune. In his answer, Chao Cho points directly to the truth. He says, "Ordinary mind is the way." Chao Cho does not say universal or big mind is the way. He is telling Chao Cho that he is already perfect as he is. The truth he seeks is not something outside of himself. The truth is not separate from himself. In the next line, we see that Chao Cho doesn't quite get it and asks, then should I try to direct myself toward it? Nan Chuan tells him, if you try and direct yourself toward it, you go away from it. When we meditate, we sometimes, maybe because we read too many books, hold out expectations of what enlightenment should or should not be. We can't sit in a full, half, quarter, or any lotus posture. We come to believe meditation is too hard, and we are not worthy or gifted enough to do it properly. We sometimes believe only an expert yoga person who can seemingly sit for hours on end without any discomfort or pain is able to achieve enlightenment. We believe we need to join a monastery, shave our heads, and practice meditation nonstop for years and years to obtain enlightenment. The real secret is, don't try to get something. Don't direct yourself to anything or have expectations for what enlightenment should or should not be. For if you try to turn toward it, as Nan Chuan explains, you go against it. Chao Cho then asked the next somewhat obvious question. How can I understand the way if I don't turn toward it? Usually, this would be the point where the Zen teacher hits the student with a stick. However, in this case, Nan Chuan does something different and explains. The way does not belong to knowing or not knowing. Knowing is delusion, not knowing is blankness. When you have reached the true way beyond all doubt, you will find that it is vast and boundless as outer space. Enlightenment is beyond knowing and non-knowing. We sometimes expect enlightenment to involve levitation or some out-of-body experience. We feel enlightenment needs to be accompanied by a spiritual fireworks show. We want visions of multidimensional angels playing hard rock guitar solos, or at least beautiful heavenly harps. Like Moses, we want to hear a booming voice from heaven saying, "You did it." When we don't get these experiences, we become discouraged. We begin setting up internal hindrances or barriers to our practice. We deem ourselves unworthy. The ordinary mind is beyond right and wrong, beyond good and evil, beyond holy or unholy. Vast and boundless is outer space. We don't see it because we refuse to let go. We cling to concepts. It is nothing beyond itself. Quiet your mind, let go of the self, and allow enlightenment to come to you. How can you reach out and grab something or direct yourself towards something you are already a part of? How can there be knowing or not knowing in the way? At these words, Chao Cho finally understands. The spark is ignited. He becomes enlightened. Later in life, Chao Cho would say, I go directly to the core of the matter. When asked what the core of the matter is, Chao Cho would say it is right in front of the eyes. It is the oak tree in the front garden, the leg of the chair, the scorched kettle. Don't try to judge your practice. Don't try to find something extraordinary. In our quest for meaning, we have tried almost every possible answer except the most simple and obvious one. The meaning of things are the things themselves. Quit trying to figure things out. Simply allow the turbulent, chaotic waters of the mind to become still. And in that stillness, the truth will surface. It is like when the jackhammer is making a racket outside of the zendo. Some people will say, I can't practice with all this disturbance. I just wish the noise would stop. Some will say, just become the jackhammer. Well, Nan Xuan, I think, would say, become the silence that is the jackhammer. To me, the real kicker of the story is what happened after Chao Cho had his encounter with Nan Xuan. He was enlightened, but Chao Cho didn't pack his bags and leave. He didn't cross enlightenment off his ancient Chinese bucket list and move on to the next thing. Rather, he stayed as Nan Xuan's student for another 40 years. He understood ordinary mind was enlightenment. The reason we meditate is not for personal gain, for we are not separate from the universe. There was nothing for Chao Cho to do but keep on meditating for the benefit of all beings. Chao Cho eventually went on to become one of the greatest teachers of Zen. There is a beautiful, intimate verse that follows this koan and sums it up nicely. The spring flowers, the moon in autumn, the cool breezes of summer, the winter snow. If idle concerns do not cloud the mind, this is man's happiest season. All is as it should be. Life is good, and most importantly, you are good. Chao Cho understood his ordinary mind, the mind that experiences suffering and tries to control everything and everybody. This mind we meditate with is the way. You are the way. You, your mind, are not separate from the universe. By meditating, we take this ordinary mind and work to bring it back to its natural state. When Chao Cho turned some 80 years old, he started to teach, even though he claimed he had nothing to teach. Common people and rulers of state from all over China came to ask him questions, to listen to his words, or just to watch him. He calmed people with his very presence. Ordinary mind is the ordinary mind without the colored glasses. It is the mind where we are, just at this moment. Let go of having to be right or of having to know everything. The ordinary mind is the mind of curiosity, the mind of hopes and dreams, the mind that yearns for answers. Chao Cho's message is quite clear. Tame the wild ox, which is the Zen metaphor for our minds. For this ox was never wild to begin with. Let go of preconceived notions of what meditation and enlightenment should be. Breathe in and breathe out. That is how you save the many beings of the world. To allow the world to heal you, you need to meditate. You need to calm your mind. Past and future, let them go. Don't worry. Let me conclude with a story of one Zen student who describes his encounter with a homeless man on a downtown street in Seattle. The homeless man appeared dressed as a woman and holding a sign requesting food. He was highly agitated and cursing out loud. As he walked past the student who was sitting down on a bench, he threw his sign down by him and started pacing back and forth in front of him. The Zen student looked up at the homeless person and quietly exclaimed, "Rough day?" The man's eyes appeared to slightly soften as their eyes met. Using a fair number of curse words, the man described how he had been standing, holding his food sign all evening, and people simply walked by ignoring him. He exclaimed that food and water were basic human necessities, and people were treating him poorly. No one cared. He felt so angry at the world. The Zen student asked him if it was true that everyone ignored him for the entire day. The man admitted a few people gave him some money. One person even gave him a VIP card to a nearby food and drink tent. He also admitted he used the card mainly to get free alcoholic drinks. The Zen student calmly asked the man if maybe he could have made a better choice and gotten more food with his VIP card. The homeless person was taken aback by this suggestion and a little confused by the logic. By talking to this stranger in a calm and deliberate voice, by making human contact, by keeping his own mind calm, and putting into practice the understanding that all beings are one, the ordinary mind is the way, the Zen student connected with the homeless person, and the man's anger subsided. As the Zen saying goes, we need to take this mind and extend it throughout the world. We meditate not for our enlightenment, but for the enlightenment of all sentient beings. We meditate for our family, for the person sitting next to us, for the bird calling outside the zendo. When we meditate, we calm the minds of all sentient beings. The body we inhabit is a gift. Use it wisely, for it is a gift that has the potential to keep on giving. Don't become discouraged, but continually work to extend this ordinary mind throughout the world so that all beings may gain peace. For it is with all beings we obtain Buddhahood.